George. First of all, I want to thank the Lord for the pilgrimage that he takes us on our journey, in that we, at times, we all have a calling to serve the Lord and to help encourage one another in the body of Christ, but sometimes our roles change, and we have to be open to that and be sensitive to that. And I need to turn my mic on. Thank you, Ken, for keeping me honest there. Thank you. I thank you so very much. George, to you and the committee, what an amazing folks. And my wife Sherry and I had a chance to meet the staff and many of you yesterday. It took us probably an hour and a half after we got home to thank the Lord and praise the Lord for the time that we had with the church body yesterday. Thank you, all of you that have been praying for yesterday and today. What a joy. I really do feel like I am home. Before I start, I know that we have a time structure, and we're going to abide by that. But it's really important for you also to know that if you have not had a chance to meet my wife, there's my lovely wife, Sherry, as she's standing back there raising her hands or stands up. We have been married 43 years, and I am telling you that I love that woman more today than I've ever loved her before. And it just keeps growing. And I thank the Lord for my wife. And we have five children. I have more than five children because I have my oldest son, Ron, my daughter-in-law, who's also there. Paula is there. Thank you, Paula. And baby Sterling. This is her first church service she's ever been in. She's only a few months old. I'd say probably 9 months old. And we're very thankful to have our granddaughter, Sterling, here with us. Our son Nicholas and Jessica and Matthew and our other granddaughter Nozomi are in Japan. He is a pastor of a church in Osaka, Japan, and they are there. So hopefully I'll wave to them and they'll see us on our website. So thanks, Ken, and everyone up there for setting that up. And we love you, Jessica and Matt and Nozomi and Nick, who hopefully will get back on September 16th. We also have my daughter Katrina. Is here with us. Katrina is back there behind Sherry, and our son Justice, a Greek worshiper of God and devoted to hospitality out of the book of Acts. So I thank you for all my kids. I also have my extended family here. Jamie, where are you? Jamie is right there with his son. He is the youth pastor over at Paris Mountain Church in Greenville. And he, as a pastor, said to the senior pastor, I need to come over and pray for the church and for Ron as he's preaching and encourage him. I mean, that is just amazing to me that brothers and sisters in other churches would come over and support. So, Jamie and your son, thank you for coming. Thank you for the prayer. Thanks also, J.I., and everyone there at Paris Mountain for freeing you up to come be here this morning. So, thank you. I want to make sure that everyone, because I'm not sure I see, did everyone get a handout? If not, then I need to have the ushers help me. It's a one-page handout, and it says has the name of the message this morning, and on the back it has a hymn. Does everybody have? Who does not have one of these hands out? If you'll raise your hand, some of our choir members will get those to you. You are not going to get this every service when I preach, but I thought it was really important because Ed, where is Ed that prayed this morning? Ed, thank you, Ed. Ed's prayer that you did this morning, Ed, I could not have asked for a better prayer to lead us into the message that the Lord has for us this morning. Thank you for doing that. And you'll see why when we get through the message. And it'll help answer some of the questions that Ed brought up in his devotion out of Psalms 91. So thank you, Psalm 91. So if you'll be sure you have your hand up and get a handout here, that would be great. And then I'm going to look to George. Where did George run off to? Okay, George, I want to make sure that George and Jane and company, I'm not calling Jane out, but because she is of the love of my life, I want to make sure that I get done preaching in time. Thank you. I got the thumbs up. So I'm going to finish here before it's too late for me. So make sure. Everybody got a handout? Good. Thank you so very much. If you will join with me, let's go ahead and let's open this time in prayer to the Lord. Lord, my prayer is that you will pour out upon each of us your unceasing wisdom, knowledge, guidance, understanding, and discernment, that we may put on the fullness of the mind of Christ in order to see, hear, and obey all that you have to teach us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I got an amen from Sterling. Thank you. They came all the way from Charleston. So, Paula, thank you, and Ronnie and Sterling for doing that. That just warms my soul. So thank you. During World War I and revised in 1938, Irving Berlin wrote the signature song recorded by Kate Smith entitled God Bless America. Arranged in the form of a prayer, it beseeches God to bless and bring peace to our homeland. You have there in front of you the words, God bless America. If you would for me, if you can, if you're able, please stand and let's just sing this together. Join with me now. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Amen. Please have a seat. Thank you so very much. Now you will see in the other side of this handout, it has spaces for you to write in. And so I'll try to give you the cue and hopefully you won't get confused. But it's important because just like Ed prayed, we need to understand why is it that America has gotten away from praying. And this message you are going to hear, if you listen to the Lord and His word that He has for you today, it's going to bring it right home to you right here at First Baptist Church of Piedmont. So I hope you do not miss God's personal word for you today. We know that the hand of God is on the United States of America. And God is still answering our prayers for a peaceful and prosperous life. Within our borders today, even during this time of increasing crowd unrest and illnesses connected with COVID-19, according to data from AltNet and the World Bank on large countries, the United States is the world's largest gross domestic product per capita economy in all of human history. With no other greater superpower military force on earth, the United States spends more money than the entire world does each year in defense. Military One reports that we have 8,700 M1 Abrams tanks, 10 aircraft carriers, 6,400 attack helicopters, and own all the satellites that guide our GPS systems, as well as possess all the advanced stealth technology and the latest information systems. As far as our commitment to being in the Lord's house, a 2014 study by Pew Research Center on Religion and Public Life reports that 70.6% of the United States population identifies themselves as Christians, of which 58% profess that they attend church at least once a week. Wow. As our monetary currency declares, in God we trust. We live in, this is where you write into your little thing there now. We live in a land today where you and I are among the 1% of the 1% of the world population that can live safely and prosper. So if you take one hand and you put it out in front of you, you take the other hand and you put it up here, and I say, now go ahead and take it down to 1%. Now I say, go ahead and take that down to 1%, and you look at it, you'll realize that you and I are in the 1% of the 1% of the world's population that can live safely and prosper. Strikingly, here it is, listen now. Strikingly similar to our day, the book of 2 Kings recounts the Lord saving Israel by the hand of Jeroboam, son of Joash, and restored the border of Israel as far as the Sea of Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet. God promised to be with Israel and their king so they may live and prosper. If only they would seek him, pursue good, and establish justice. And so it was in the northern kingdom of Israel. Due to the great army of King Jeroboam II, those who lived in Israel were able to live in peace and prosperity. Yet as they entered the temple of worship and offered sacrifices to God, the rich and the politically powerful among them, you know what they did? They took advantage of the less fortunate for the sake of their own getting richer. And they left the poor with no recourse. Does this sound familiar to what is going on in the United States today? Let's see how God responded to the oppressed outcries of the marginalized caused by the 1% of the 1% in the time of Amos as we focus on our passage today. The title of this sermon is With Privileges and Opportunities Comes Responsibilities. And the message comes from Amos chapter 5, verses 18 to 27. You have your pew Bibles, but you could follow along with me as I read this. Amos chapter 5. Alas, for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? Is it not darkness and not light? As if someone fled from the lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom without brightness in it? God says, I despise your festivals. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-beings of your fatted animals, I won't even look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your hearts, of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Did you bring to me offerings and sacrifices the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You shall not take up Succoth your king and Kawan your star god, your images you made for yourselves. Therefore, I will take you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. The Lord's blessings on the reading of his word. Identified as the third of 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament, the book of Amos is a period of time between 785 and 745 BC, when Israel's ceremonial acts of worship offended God because of their ungodly ethical and moral behavior towards others. Consequently, out of the land of Judah, Now, I want to pause for just a second to make sure everybody understands. If you look at the geographical area of all of Israel and Judah, a lot of times we think of Israel as people, right? And they were eventually after they came back from exile in Babylon. But before that, it was divided into two major kingdoms. The upper kingdom, the northern kingdom, was the kingdom of Israel, which the capital was Samaria. The bottom kingdom, well, the southern kingdom, was the kingdom of Judah. And Bethlehem, Jerusalem was the capital of the southern kingdom. I just wanted to make sure you understand that when we talk about coming out of the south and going into the north of Israel, it's that land, that northern kingdom was called Israel. And the southern kingdom was called Judah. Does that make sense? Okay. So, consequently, out of the land of Judah in the south, the Lord rose up Amos of Tekoah from his middle-class southern kingdom existence to declare Yahweh's condemnation of the kingdom of Israel's upper-class society during the reign of Jeroboam II in the north. Now, the passage of Amos chapter 5, 18 to 27, it declares the Lord's indictment against Israel. And here it is. For perverting their acts of prayer, offerings, and worship, which with malicious intent to distort righteousness and social justice. Now, this is where you write this down. To God, service was not about offerings, but was about the pursuit of impartial justice and moral righteousness demanded in their covenant relationship with Him. Ed, when we as a society are in sin and we are not pursuing impartial justice and moral righteousness, one of the first thing that goes is what? Prayer. We hide from God, just like Adam and Eve did. They hid from God because they were ashamed. That's why. It's because we're not pursuing righteousness. The practice in Deuteronomy, the burnt and grain and peace offerings and the musical rituals were an abomination to the Lord when social injustice, self-indulgence, and unrighteous acts towards others were allowed to flourish throughout society. As we focus on this passage, we need to come to the realization that each of us, now listen to me, this is very important. Each of us have no rights. Each of us have no entitlements separate from the gracious hand of God. Instead, we must appreciate with all humility that God has bestowed upon each of us in this great land of ours an abundance not of rights and entitlements, but privileges and opportunities that require us to take serious responsibility of devoting ongoing acts of service to the homeless, to the poor and the needy within our sphere of influence. Today, as in the time of Amos, God expects our service to Him to be about promoting community fairness and concern for the unprivileged and underprivileged. So when we look at the first one here, and we're going to get through this here, I got 6 minutes left. The first one here, God gives us privileges, not rights. Please write that down. In positions of authority to further justice. This is out of verse 18 to 20. Now listen to this. The book of Amos is divided into the three sections. I hope you guys don't mind a little bit of understanding, because always remember, I'm huge on content and context. Time, place, and matter. Who's saying it? Who is he saying it to? What's going on in society? Looking at the passage within passages and how it fits in and getting it in the right context. So context is huge to me. So the second section in chapter 3 is comprised of what are called oracles or revelations of God relating to the eminent domain of the kingdom of Israel because of their neglecting the needy and afflicting the poor, taking advantage of young women and exploiting the lower class by exercising their positional rights to impose usurious taxes and fines in order to take their possessions and their property. Except for several concluding verses in the book of Amos, the content and tone of God's message through Amos was one, and here it is, hopeless devastation. But don't run away from the minor prophets, because there is so much rich hope in them. But in the book of Amos, it's pretty dismal. In chapters 4 through 6, Amos discourses the guilty sinfulness deeply rooted in the northern kingdom. That's the kingdom of Israel. Illuminating the piousness of their false prayers and their offerings by condemning the oppressive behavior towards the poor, and culminated with the prediction of foreign invasion and exile as a consequence of their immoral sin towards God and the marginal of society. Ed, I'm not trying to point you out, but you are very, very wise in your prayer today, because this is where we are heading if we do not change. Turn around. In the heart of the chapter, Amos harshly declares the day of the Lord not as a day of celebration of God freeing them from their enemies, but rather that it was one of despair and mourning and complete darkness. As a day that can only be described as woes, the divine punishment forthcoming throughout the northern kingdom. Let me give you a difference here, real quickly. I got 5 minutes. Rights and privileges. My son Justice comes to me. I could pick on him because he's a deputy sheriff and he knows I'm just using him as an illustration. He gets a car and he's driving around and he's running through stoplights and he's getting into accidents and he's going too fast. And he says, I got my right. I got my driver's license. I got my right to be able to drive this fast and go through stoplights. Then he goes to Sheriff's Academy and he gets educated there and he realizes, you know what? I don't have a right to a driver's license. I have a privilege to a driver's license. And if I abuse or neglect that privilege, they take it away. God is the same way with our privileges and opportunities. If I abuse our opportunities and responsibilities, He will take away what He has given to you and He has given to me and He has given to this country. The difference between a right is we have no rights. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we have no rights. We have no entitlements. We have only privileges and opportunities in that 1% of that 1%, and we need to take responsibility for that. In our position of authority, wherever that may be, we need to recognize the privileges entrusted to us and carry out justice equally, considering others more important than ourselves. Okay, number two. God gives us opportunities, not entitlements, to positions of society to further righteousness. So God did not delight. He did not look upon. One of my responsibilities that I did as a part of my ministry, many of you know that for over 38 years, my ministry has been in the area of practicing law. And in the Orange County court system, they used to send the juveniles to me to talk with them about trying to help them understand what they did was wrong and trying to keep them out of the criminal court system. So I would sit with them, and you know what? 9 out of 10 of those that came to me were theft-related offenses. A girl would come in, 17 years old. She said she had stolen a blouse. And I'd say to her, I said, well, why did you steal the blouse? And many of the times they said, well, it's because my mom and dad would not give me the money for the blouse, and I needed the blouse to go out on a date. Or somebody would come in, a young man would come in, and he stole do they still have Walkmen? I don't know. Help me out here. I just got rid of my pager, so forgive me. I'm teching it up a little bit. But it was always a theft-related offense, because they felt that they were entitled to it. They felt that they had a right to that blouse or that technology or whatever it was. And they did not realize that when they did a theft-related offense, a moral turpitude crime, once they get through school, because they have a theft-related offense on their record, they can't get bonded, licensed, or insured. And it ruins their whole rest of their life over that one blouse. And so when we look at this second part that we're talking about here, and that is each of these people who felt that they were entitled took the self-indulgent easy way out without weighing the life-changing cost they had to pay. Bottom line, we have no rights, we have no entitlements, but privileges and opportunities. Let me get to the third area here real quick. One of the things that I think is very important that we understand is that I truly believe that First Baptist Church of Piedmont as a body of Christ have a direct effect in reducing homelessness and poverty that exists among men and women and children within our sphere of influence that we have. Just in the greater Greenville area, there are over 2,285 individuals who are in emergency shelters, and 242 of them live either in tents, cars, abandoned buildings, or out on the street. And we need to take our gifts, talents, time, and treasures that we have here at the First Baptist Church of Piedmont and get involved with other congregations like Paris Mountain Church. Come together. The Home with a Heart. Anybody heard of Home with a Heart? I know this church has. Salvation Army, United Ministries, I'm thinking Miracle Hill Ministries, where we could be able to go out and help these individuals. We could do that here. Because, Ed, if we don't, we're going to end up just like what happened to the people of Israel when they were invaded and they were cast out because they violated God's responsibility. Number three, and I'm going to end in 2 minutes, God imposes judgment to restore privileges and opportunities. God imposes judgment to restore privileges and opportunities. Fortunately, after they were exiled for over 70 years, what happened is, it led to this destruction of northern Israel, eventually also the destruction of southern kingdom, displaced in by the Assyrians in 722. But yet, in 538 B.C., by a decree of Cyrus the king of Persia, the Lord restored the people and allowed them to return from exile to Jerusalem in order to rebuild the temple. Because God, listen now, because God always keeps His promises, a new era of privileges and opportunities began for all of His people. Jesus is calling us all to make a knowing decision on how we will outwardly demonstrate your gratitude for your many privileges and opportunities given by God through our outward act of services to the homeless, the poor, and the needy within your sphere of influence. We have privileges to live in a land protected by a mighty force, mighty military force, and have opportunities for our families to prosper. But at the same time, greed has set into our nation, where tax breaks only benefit the super rich, while the marginal number in our country lead to the developing countries. We lead, of all developing countries, a nation in child poverty, homelessness, student debt, prison population, and declining public services. In the time of Amos, service to God was not about offerings. It was about justice and righteousness. God is the same God today as He was, and His character and attributes as He was back there. It never changes. We don't need to guess what is the will of God. We need to ask ourselves out of our self-proclaiming rights entitlements, are we furthering social injustice, self-indulgence, and unrighteous acts towards others, or, which is the one I'm hoping we'll do, out of worshipful thanksgiving for the abundant privileges and opportunities given to us by God, are we actively engaged in humble acts of service to the poor and the needy within our community? We are all now aware of the consequences of ongoing sinful disobedience and direction for our country and the way it's heading if we do not practice righteous living and pursue equal justice for everyone in our society. The Lord is calling all of us who have received Him to come, and you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. If you have never given your heart to God, if you've never given your heart to Christ, don't wait another moment. We hope that you will please come and receive Him as your Lord and Savior today. Or maybe you realize that your demands for personal rights and entitlements were selfish and sinful, and you don't want to serve in a way that is an abomination before the Lord's eyes any longer. You can come forward, confess that to the Lord as sin, and thank Him for the privileges He has given to you, and commit future opportunities to serve those around you with a humble heart. George, as we come, we wait. I will turn it back over to you, but I hope that you do not leave here this morning with that still laboring on your heart. Get right with the Lord in His personal relationship with Him, and take those privileges and opportunities to the cross. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.